Follow the White Rabbit is a game that will teach you practical politics. Practical politics is called practical politics because it is non-voting, which makes it very, very practical. Conventional politics is, of course, rule-based politics, which is what you do at the voting booth. It's very, very rule-based and timeline-based, you know, every 4 years, every 2 years, so on and so forth. And full-spectrum practical politics is engaging and taking out an opponent or a system or a corporation, so on and so forth, by any means necessary under the rules or under the laws, but never breaking the rules or never breaking the laws. But to understand anything, we first have to teach you practical politics, which is non-voting politics. The first basics are the art of staying on point or using a talking point and being able to say it over and over again to make your point, not arguing, just making a point. But this is an introduction, again, to Follow the White Rabbit, and Follow the White Rabbit is a game that will teach you practical politics. This is the beginning of 25. And in the first 24, it was a series on practical politics or non-voting politics. And I went in a few different angles just because no one's covered that from a racial perspective. And new listeners should know that post 24, 25, they don't have to be listened to in order, 25, 26, 27, unless I do interviews and some other things like that. If like 29 and 30 go together, it'll say that on there. But the first 24 should be listened to in order. So if there's anything in 25, 26, 27, as they come out that you don't understand or you don't understand fully, before you email me, you can, believe it or not, go back and you will hear enough in the first 24 to listen to be able to understand 25, 26, 27. But most of this you should be able to follow without even listening to those, because I'm going to go back over certain concepts and certain news events. But that is this is the beginning of 25, and we've had epic news events on the planet since I last spoke with you. Huge news events. We have the ClimateGate scandal, and we're going to go into what really happened. And we have our old buddy over there, Pooty Poot. Yeah, Pooty Poot Rabbit. Vladimir Putin and the Russians. The Russians, of course, confirmed that climate manipulation was a big scam. The question is, what exactly happened? And the story is going to go that let me go over some news headlines for you. This was from the Telegraph out of London. ClimateGate goes serial. Now the Russians confirm that UK climate scientists manipulated data, exaggerate global warming. They lied, basically. UN officials warn of strife that will hinder climate talks, and that's the Boston Globe. The big one came out of the Independent, though. The Independent knew what I had thought, and that is, I'm going to read parts of this to you by a man named Sean Walker at the Independent in London. Was Russian Secret Service behind the leak of climate change emails? Yes, probably. What they had done is they hacked into certain things, and they exposed it. And basically, it was totally comedy. And I'll read some of this to you because this is a good one. The news that a leaked set of emails appeared to show senior climate scientists had manipulated data was shocking enough. Now the story has become more remarkable still. The computer hack said a senior member of the Intergovernment Panel on Climate Change was not an amateur job, but a highly sophisticated, political motivated operation. And others went further. The guiding hand behind the leaks, allegation went, was that of the Russian Secret Services. The leaked email, which claimed to provide evidence that the unit's head, Professor Phil Jones, colluded with colleagues to manipulate data and hide unhelpful research from critics of climate change science, were originally posted at a server in the Siberian city of Tomsk, T-O-M-S-K, a firm at which Tom City, an internet security business, the FSB security services, descendants of the KGB, are believed to invest significant resources in hackers. the Kremlin in general does. That's my addition, yes. And the Tomsk office has a record of issuing statements congratulating local students on hacks aimed at anti-Russian voices. Of course they do, deeming them an expression of their position as citizens and one worthy of respect. The Kremlin has also been accused of running coordinated cyber attacks against websites in neighboring countries, such as Estonia, with which the Kremlin has frosty relations, although the allegations were never proved. It's very common for hackers in Russia to be paid for their services. Professor Gene Pascal Van Ypersel, the vice chairman of Intergovernment Panel on Climate Change, said in Copenhagen over the weekend, "It's a carefully made selection of emails and documents, and it's not random. This is 13 years of data. It's not a job of amateurs." The leaked emails, Professor Van Ypersel, or whatever it's pronounced, Ypersele, will fuel skepticism about climate change and may make agreement harder at Copenhagen. Oh, kinda. So the mutterings have prompted the question, why would Russia have an interest in scuppering the Copenhagen talks? It's okay, it's just pooty-poot. I ain't mad at you or nothing. I just thought I'd upend everything you're doing at the moment. The leaked emails, Professor Van Ypersel will fuel skepticism. Okay, let's go on here. This time, if it was indeed the FSB behind the leak, it could be the part of a ploy to delay negotiations or win further concessions from Moscow, along with the United States was accused of delaying Kyoto. And signals coming from Moscow have continued to dismay the environment activists. When Ed Miliband, Secretary of State for Climate Change, visited Moscow this year, he had meetings with high-level Russian officials and pronounced them constructive, but others doubt that Russia has much desire to go green. Up in the northern reaches of Russia, there's a stretch of hundreds of miles of boggy tundra, so on, so forth, etc. Russia commitments at Copenhagen have been modest. In June, President Dmitry Medvedev said Russia would reduce emissions levels by 10-15%. Of course, Russia is not alone in falling short of climate commitments, but nor does it have a track record of openness for dismissal of the claims against the FSB to be straightforward. The Tomsk hackers in the message, along with their leak, wrote of their hopes that the release would give some insight into science and the people behind it. Similar insight in the hackers themselves look extremely unlikely. Let's go back over the basics and let's talk about the fall of Russia. When Russia fell, you had all these very smart white people that are very good with computers, the best programming, the programming awards at all these big things a lot of times are won by the Russians. The best hackers in the world are Russian. Why? Because they're white. They were white and they were starving. If you're white and you're starving, you're going to play the game in front of you. They were playing, they're not necessarily knocking off your local bank and stuff like that. Well, most of the robberies happening through air and ether. In other words, happening online. Most of you looked at network in your local area. That's fine, but most of the networks are forming online. That's the game in front of you. Believe it or not, I'm going to go into this in the next section a little bit different when someone posted something on Bugs. That's Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar. And that is linked on my site. But what happened is the Russians have a whole generation of the best hackers, and they shut down Estonia. They can shut you down. They can steal anything. They are brilliant. And I'm sure there's some in the United States. I know there's some in China, but Russia has supposedly the premier, and they are a big asset. I've talked about before, our race's greatest asset is in the Kremlin and the FSB. They will not hesitate to do stuff like that. Now, did the Kremlin hire them? No. What you have is a third-party security services company with a fourth-party hacker handing out a contract. No one knows who does it, a wink and nod. There's no way to prove it. They couldn't prove anything on Estonian. It was blatant. They just crippled the place. But you can't, you really can't do anything with someone like Russia gets free and can really want to damage your goods. What is significant about this? What is significant about this event is what happened in a part of Anglosphere outside of the UK. Because in the UK, it was all over the other places that the Russia has scuffled Copenhagen. These news releases are out of London. But in America, they immediately took it. Ellis immediately took this stuff that this data was fabricated and ran with it. No one talks about an illegal act, which hacking is illegal. You can't steal stuff. You can't break into computers and steal stuff. It's the game in front of you. Anytime you're playing the game in front of you, whether it be practical politics or hacking, it can be difficult to trace and prove. It can be, you know, can't make it necessarily fully illegal. So it's legal as long as you can get away with it. And Russians don't care. So you have this illegal event that happened under law. It is illegal, hard to prove, hard to find, whatever. Every day, most of the theft happening in this world happens online. Most of the great money thefts happen online, but that's just the game in front of you. They're not the next generation Stalins, and again, I'm going to go into a little bit of this in my next segment, are not going to rob banks in any conventional way. They're not going to knock over the local 7-Eleven necessarily. They're going to hack something or rob something online or have a group to do something like that. That's the way that stuff works, right? But they have this, you know, this third or fourth party hacker comes out and just basically blindsides all of Copenhagen. And this information was critical and was used all over the Anglo-American, the American media. They never talked about the Russian hackers. They never talked about any how they came about this information. They didn't go into that explicitly. I saw Bill O'Reilly on Fox News. I saw the CNN. It was really shocking to me that they didn't go into everything. London, these guys were screaming bloody murder at Russia. They said it's Russia again. It's Russia. It's Russia. It's Russia. This is historic, because what you see are inside groups behind Anglosphere, specifically America. And we have another now linking up with the Russians, and the Russians are what you see is what you get on our side behind the scenes in America. It's going to be wide sky, but they made hay of it. We have other news releases. Top Cuban official says Obama lied in Copenhagen. December 21st, this came out. He was imperial and arrogant. Oh my! Welcome to Cuba. Now remember, all these guys were in a love affair with Obama. Obama, I'll come back to him in a minute. Chavez says Obama illusion is totally over. Well, Obama, the Talibama, he's an actor. He's an actor. That's all he is. You know, Bob was asked to describe, someone interviewed Bob from a nationalist group in Europe interviewed Bob, and they asked him to describe Obama, because everyone wants to know what Americans think of Obama. And Bob says, well, I don't know. How do I describe nothing? Or Bob said he's nothing, and they asked him to describe Obama. He said, I can't describe nothing. That's impossible. But he's an actor. He's dually. You assume he's owned. They can't have any real power, so he's owned. which is kind of funny. But the ones that would have... And Hillary, of course, at the end of Copenhagen, Hillary walked up and she promises $100 billion. That was also a slap in the face to them, to the people that wanted this big deal. And I'll go into what this big deal would have been, or the basics for White Rabbits. But $100 billion simply doubles the amount of foreign aid from America, which is already $50 billion. It's already ridiculous. It doubles it by 2020. It doesn't... To them, it read like slap in the face, and they were spit in the face. But the Talibama walks in, and he does what he's told, because that's all an actor does. They get a script, they do what he's told, and he walks in, and he stones the third world. He tells them to screw off. I mean, that's what he told them. Hillary said, well, we'll promise the foreign aid. You know, $100 billion sounds like a lot, and it is. $50 billion is too much. Right now, there's too much foreign aid coming out of America. Who knows what it really is? But $100 billion doubling foreign aid is ridiculous. By 2020, it compared to what they wanted, compared to everything going on, it was a slap in the face. But we have elements within America making hay out of what the Russians did without giving them credit necessarily. You see how that works? We have another event that is seminal. The biggest event that happened that went underneath the radar, and all this stuff is happening. They're not. It's right in front of your face, but no one's really. Very few elements are picking up on it. White rabbits out there aren't necessarily picking up on this. But what you have at Copenhagen is they basically want to, you know, a John McCain would have stepped in there. Yeah, Johnny McCain. This is like a second generation communism. And second generation communism is scientific racism, or the replacing of class with race is an endless struggle. You know, and you have they're demanding equality. They're demanding environmental equality. And so how is environmental equality? Well, everyone says there's a problem with equality. Everyone says this problem with equality is going to be solved when the third world pours into white countries and only white countries, and the white countries give up all their wealth. What if I were to say there's a problem with equality in Africa, and this problem with equality in Africa is going to be solved when millions and millions of non-Africans pour into every African country and loot African wealth? How long would it take for any African to realize that this problem with equality isn't a problem with African equality at all? It's a problem with Africans, and the solution involves their genocide, right? They say they're anti-racist. They say they're pro-equality. What they are is anti-white, and what they're calling for is genocide. I just did a mini mantra for you with equality, but you can redo that talking point again and again. But that's what they wanted. This was probably the last hurrah. This would have been a big nail in our coffin. Under circumstances, if they could have got their New World Order going. By the way, they plan on doing this type of thing years and years ago. This climate, this Copenhagen stuff. But it didn't work. It got stoned. Obama really, really leveled him to the ground. And Obama's doing, you know, he gave a speech in Africa where he sounded like a white nationalist. He told them all their problems had nothing to do with Europe. He basically told them that. He sounded like someone from Ameren. He doesn't want to say that necessarily, but he does what he's told. And then, of course, Hillary plays the good rabbit. She plays the white good rabbit. She walks in and talks about doubling foreign aid in 2020. 2020 is an eternity. 2020 is an eternity. But what's significant about here is that what Russia did, what elements in America immediately played off of. There's also a third event that went underneath the radar. There was a huge testing of something over top of Norway. And I want you to look this up. It's a spiral over top of Norway. There was a huge test of one of the listeners of my broadcast will realize in verse 24 that they've discovered some next generation physics. We'll call it a white rabbit physics, a unified white rabbit physics, and they're waiting to bring it out. But they're now displaying this. They're now displaying this for the world to see in front of the big dance with Iran. And what happened all along the time at Copenhagen, right around that time, is there's a huge spiral, all these weird, wild-looking things in the sky over Norway. And when this happened, what the Norwegians said and what elements in America said was this was a Russian missile test from the Navy. And Russians immediately said, no, that's not a missile. The official statement from Russia said, that's not us, that's not our stuff. And then they immediately retracted within so many hours. They did a 180. They said, yes, I'm sorry, we were misformed. That was a Russian naval next-generation missile test over Norway. Well, that's no missile test. They may be testing something to do with missiles. They may be testing some technology to do with blocking missiles. But for Russia to do a 180 in cover, because they have heart fields in Norway. Most people don't know that. We have heart fields all across the northern part of the planet. And who knows what those things are about. But you're dealing with this next generation physics. So we have a wild test over Norway. And the Norwegians say, well, it was the Russians testing something. But of course, if the Russians are testing some system over top of Norway, if the Russians are testing something like that close to NATO allies, you would think they'd be raising holy hell over it, right? When have you heard of the Russians testing missile systems over Norway? When in the hell? That doesn't happen. The Russians send out old bombers. They send out old bombers, and London has a complete fit. They have a conniption. All of Anglosphere has a conniption. Russia's buzzing our aircraft carriers. They have a conniption. They're testing the wildest-looking missile test anyone's ever seen on this planet over top of Norway right during all these things happening, and no one says a word. It's no big deal. It just goes away. These are fascinating events. The events shaping up in front of you are the events I call these were events I didn't think would necessarily happen this way. I thought there would be a last hurrah of the Red Hippo, and there may be a little bit after this war. They may still use their energy to get some stuff done. But what you're witnessing is the two Northern Brothers coming together behind the scenes. And I can't tell you how significant these events are. They're not big. They're nothing. They're not in your newspapers, but they're huge. They're huge. And that was one of these next generation weapon systems. I don't know if the Russians tested it. I don't know if they didn't know about it. I don't know if it was the Norwegian heart field going off. I don't know if it was elements in military industrial complex that have always worked with the Russians. As long as we have a space program together, and we do, we always are working with the Russians wide sky. Why? We're related. But these events are huge because what it shows you is they're coming out together. They're starting to work together more and more, coming into the big dance with Iran. And this is a dream sequence. This is what I was hoping to see, is elements within Anglosphere, elements within America especially, playing off the Russians, working with the Russians. That's what I was hoping to see. The funny thing is, the Los Angeles Times, Megan Stack, Russia reigns over its weather. They're talking about Russia weather control coming out of World War II, and that has everything to do with this physics. I've been asked if this physics is magic. I don't even understand it. It's so wild. When our race first had it, when our race first did it, the other side did not even believe it until it was too late. They've forgotten. They really don't understand how real race is, but they've forgotten what we were capable of. And by the time they realized it, it was too late. And this stuff is magical stuff. And so who knows what you're going to see after Iran? This is a white rabbit dream sequence going on. Oh, and we got a couple more news events. Mr. Soros, I love Mr. Soros because Mr. Soros has a big mouth. Mr. Soros likes yapping. Yippity yap, yippity yap, yippity yap. And he loves talking. He always talks to white rabbits. Oh, he bragged for decade after decade about how brilliant he was. And he says all kinds of interesting stuff. This is December 9th. This is all at the same time. Bloomberg. Billionaire Soros says Europe would like to see London sink. That is a very interesting statement. He's talking about stuff in Copenhagen. He's talking about, now would elements within America like to see London sink? The little pink rabbits wouldn't. That's their center of operations. Elements in the banking sector, Wall Street and Washington, wouldn't want to see London sink. But there's other elements there. I've always told you about these other elements. They're not what you see is what you get. They're a wide sky. The neocons sure don't want to see London sink, but all of Europe wants to see, all of Europe's wanted to see London sink for hundreds of years. The Chinese want to see London sink. I mean, they finance a lot of death and destruction around the world, like communism, you know, the Holy Trinity, Washington, Wall Street, especially London, you know, the axis of evil. So there's nothing about Europe wanting to see London sink. What's going on here? What's changed? What is he telling you? And he talks. He loves talking. I don't even think he realizes what he says. You know, when Lehman Brothers went under, he couldn't believe someone at the Treasury allowed Lehman Brothers to go under. He said it over and over again, like he was like a repeater. He said that Lehman Brothers set off the whole entire problem with Anglo banking. He still says it. It's like he can't get out of his head. But these events are all happening at the same time. Whether it be everything preceding Copenhagen, right afterwards. And of course, what they want in Copenhagen, they wanted to take all our wealth and something else, and, you know, whatever. And they've had this plan a long time. They have millions of different variations of their New World Order, but it always involves one thing, the genocide of white rabbits. Yes, it does. It doesn't matter what they're talking about. It deals with our genocide. But what we're seeing with Russia, what we're seeing with elements within America, we're seeing the dream sequence. We also have another event. No white nationalist on this planet knows about this guy. Very few of you do. His name, he's got an interesting name. Had a face-to-face meeting in the Kremlin. Now, he's probably been there many times. He's probably talked to them many times. But what they're doing is releasing this across a broader avenue. His name is Kalashnikov. Maxim, M-A-K-S-I-M, Kalashnikov, K-A-L-A-S-H-N-I-K-O-F. He's a big deal in a conservative think tank in Russia. How conservative is he? Well, he's a real conservative, which means he's talking about conserving white rabbits. But he had a meeting. Who did he have a meeting with? Dmitry Medvedev. Back in October, they say. He's probably been there many times, but they're releasing this. This came through Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Radio Free Europe, Kalashnikov in the Kremlin, December 9th. These are the same time, mind you. The same time. This is huge. I'm going to read you what it says in Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Kalashnikov in Europe. Kalashnikov in the Kremlin. He's meeting not just with anyone, Dmitry Medvedev. Okay, this is the soft spot in the Kremlin, supposedly. So who is Maxim Kolesnikov, a provocative blogger who has praised for Hitler and Stalin, a futurologist whose many books envision a restored Russian empire, so on and so forth. He runs a conservative think tank, and I'm going to try to find, he had a project, he gave projects to the Academy of Science. Let's see here. Kolesnikov is a leading figure of the Moscow-based Institute of Dynamic Conservatism. The director of the institute is Andrei Kobiakov. Kobiakov is best known for his 2003 treatise, The Sunset of the Empire of the Dollar and the End of Pax Americana. Under his real name, Vladimir... let's see here. He's talking about the same guy. The Russian Doctrine, a pre-publication version which was endorsed in 2007 by the... They're talking about what the think tank kicked out. The Russian Doctrine, a pre-publication version of which was endorsed in 2007 by then-Metropolitan and now-Patriarch Kirill. So these guys have been endorsed by big-time powers in Russia. That's the Patriarch of the Orthodox, the Russian Orthodox Church. Big deal. He's a very big deal, very connected in Russian politics. So if he's endorsing this think tank, you probably wouldn't want to know about him. He has blamed the Jewish wing of the Bolshevik Party for detaching Ukraine from Russia and said in an interview with RFERL that Joseph Stalin, thank God, suffocated that wing. He's talking about Joseph Stalin doing a number on the pink rabbits. In an essay appended to the print edition of Russian Doctrine, is entitled Russia's Chance in the 21st Century, Breaking Out of the Global Time of Troubles. Kolesnikov begins with an account of how U.S. global hegemony in the wake and the end of Cold War is collapsing. Yes, it's a time on the planet where everything is going to collapse. He compares the situation in the United States today with the Soviet Union in the late 80s, losing its zone of vital interest, undergoing economic paroxysms. We are standing on the threshold of an incredible event, a historic collapse, and the United States does not have the power to stop this. Kolesnikov then proceeds to say that this collapse affects not only the United States, but the entire white race. He repeats the sad joke that American universities, so on and so forth. But in all this turbulence, Kolesnikov sees an opportunity for Russia. Once again, God is sending us a great opportunity. Russia, he writes, was the first country to enter this new time of troubles, the first to be deprived of a great country, the USSR and powerful industry, the first to feel the effects of the new barbarism and to endure the degradation of society. Europe lies in a profound morass, and the United States simply may not be preserved as a whole country. He is one of the big guys behind the scenes that kicks out different things that the Kremlin looks at. This guy is meaning, he's talking about the profound opportunity for Russia and in regards to our race. I've told you this. These guys have been around there for a long, long time. This is coming down official channels that these guys are meeting with Dmitry Medvedev. Now, I'm sorry, but if you hear that, oh, Bob, or yours truly, or anyone, I don't care, whoever's listening to me, some known figure, and if you put out an MP3 and it gets listened to, you're probably going to be somewhat known eventually, because there's not that many out there looking to speak for white rabbits. If you get called in the Pentagon and they release that, not that they haven't been called in, you don't know that, but that they release that, well, someone's trying to tell you something. What has happened, ladies and gentlemen, little white rabbits, is that someone has been put over the barrel in more ways than you can imagine. And what happened with Russia is once Russia broke free, once Putin got out and running, what it does is you got a bird in the hand because they're not demoralized. Let's go back over the basics. It takes 15 to 20 years to demoralize. He can immediately start not active measures but proactive measures, kicking out that Russian nationalism, doing all that good Russian stuff. What that does is it frees up a flank. It's a huge, because you can't do any, you don't have a new world order without Russian cooperation, because they have the other assets. They have their assets of this unified physics. Part of it's in America, and part of it's in Russia. So if you don't have them both, you don't have a new world order. That's why Rothschild and company were trying to raise money for McCain. That's why Rothschild and company sent Khodorkovsky back into Russia. He said, you got to get back in there. You don't risk your rooks. Rooks a player on the board unless you have to have it. Because if you don't have Russia, you don't have a new world order. If you don't have America, you don't have a new world order. And so that creates leverage. He's out running, and what he does, he immediately frees up German soft power. German soft power is something my listeners know about, but most on this planet do not. They are not heard, they are not smelt, but they are felt. They are felt all over this planet. in ways you can't imagine. But he speaks German. And it frees up German soft power. And German soft power immediately starts combining themselves to what? To what? Well, he's going to immediately combine himself to, they're going to immediately combine themselves to Russian energy assets. Not that they weren't already dependent on Russian energy assets, but they're going to make themselves really dependent. Why? Because it creates a problem. That problem of energy dependence on Russia is just like our energy dependence on the Arabs. Right? We have to be, Israel says we have to be in the Middle East because our oil comes from the Middle East. That's true. Problem, reaction, solution. But German soft power says, well, we have to have a good relationship with the Kremlin because our energy comes from there. Well, that's good. You see, that's how we're operating. That is brilliant stuff. But this frees up German soft power. This creates leverage because it allows them to do whatever they want within NATO. Right? It's one big chain reaction. You got a little bird in the hand with Russia because you don't have a population to moralize. The first thing he did was he nationalized the media. Well, that's what I do in America. Why? They nationalize a bank, nationalize the media. Disney's the largest white rabbit media company in the world. They don't kick out any white rabbit media. Well, you nationalize. You nationalize everything else. Well, what would I do there? I wouldn't run anything. I'm no good at business. I would sit in a control position and say, is it pro-white? Is it pro-white genocide? If I don't answer that correctly, who knows what may happen? A little van will pull up and a little Chinese guy would come out because we were going to outsource that and, you know, put him asleep or something. Who knows? But it becomes significant because they're controlling the media. They're controlling everything. And it gets them out and running. It allows German soft power to flex. You see, one person, one of the groups within NATO, like Germany, can cause you problems if they can say no. And they can say no with Kremlin help. They can immediately, you don't have anything on them. And so this frees up. Now you've got two little birds in the bush. And you know, it's like the white jackrabbits jump up and grab that bird in the bush and they put him in a little iron fist and you put him in a nice little silver cage and watch him. And watch him. Then all the pink jackrabbits, they flee. They flee to London. They flee to whatever. And then you climb up your next little bush, German soft power. Then you kick out everything you want and then you put that little birdie in an iron fist. Then you put that little birdie in the hand and into a big silver cage. And then it comes across a grid. Then you get down to the gritty because you lost Russia, you now got German soft power flexing, and now all of a sudden your pressure mounts. Now all of a sudden you got back into America. America's a wild card. It's always a wild card. No one knows what's going on here because you got a military industrial complex who knows what's going on there? Who knows what they have or how much money is missing? And we know they do business with the Russians. It's what you get. It's right in front of your face. And so then all of a sudden pressure mounts. Pressure mounts against the elites. You got to do something. You got to cut a deal because the Russians are going to take everything. They're going to call tribunals, and not necessarily in that order. Because if you start falling to pieces post 2007, which is what you're seeing, Anglo banking has fallen to pieces. The bond market is now falling to pieces. Your elites, the pink rabbit banksters and elitesters, you better do something. You have problems. You have problems mounting. You got to cut a deal while you can still cut a deal. You got to do something, and that's what we've seen happen. There was a huge factor involved in whatever deal they've been forced to cut. One of the factors is, and I've never really talked about this, but I'll call it the Joe the Plumber factor. It's a factor in practical politics. It's kind of common sense. What happens is, when you have something like old Bob sitting out there in Ethernet, and you don't know who he's going to meet, you don't know who's going to get his stuff, that's the way this stuff works, right? I mean, if they're putting out bomb plans on the Internet, you don't know who's going to get that stuff. That stuff is well watched. There's nothing you could do about old Bob. Oh, you can try to hack his website. You can attack his website. There's nothing you can do about it. I don't do anything illegal. Someone like me, you know, I've only been out 6, 7, 8 months. Well, I don't know what end of May. Most of you are just now hearing about me. There's a timeline into this, but there's a Joe the Plumber factor because Joe Plumber, what he did right in front of the world was he asked the Taliban a serious question. Whether you like it or not, he asked a serious question. That serious question is going to get creates a problem. That problem is going to get a reaction. That reaction immediately allows the conservatives, if they weren't so-called conservatives, to put in a solution. It's just the basics. What happens when you have an old Bob out there, or even Follow the White Rabbit, Horace the Vendor's Follow the White Rabbit, giving very simple talking points, is you have a plumber factor in America. Anyone could get a hold of that, and anyone could become a media superstar like Joe the Plumber did just for making a statement. You know, yes, Mr. Talibama, you know, Africans have 50-plus countries on the planet. Africans have well over half the world's natural resources in Africa. Africans have the largest population the world has ever seen. And Africans have the greatest piece of farmland the world has ever known in Africa. Africans like you live with me as a minority, and I am a minority. There's not much more I can do for you other than make you president. So what are we going to do about this long-term solution to this racial situation? Are we going to split up the country? You know, what's the solution here? Because this isn't going anywhere. The place is bankrupt. If someone hits him with a consistent message, a talking point, that heaven forbid he reads on bugs or hear, you got to watch that. You got to spend every waking moment in America worried about that, because you don't own, you know, just Fox News, CNN, and the major media anymore. You got other media. A Joe the Plumber cannot be shut down because you got YouTube. You got all kinds of problems. He's not doing anything illegal. He's asking a question. He's making a statement. But you don't know who's going to do that. You don't know where it's going to come from. You remember, you're 15 years out of demoralization. You're not demoralized anymore. You're starting to ask questions. And White Rabbits ask questions. You could Joe the Plumber it. You've got to worry about that, because you don't know who's setting something like that up. And that would blow everything. It changes the whole dynamics of the game overnight. And Joe the Plumber did. He changed a lot of the dynamics, whether you like him or not. You know, he didn't do anything for me because he didn't discuss anything racial. But you don't know. I'm giving you a what you see is what you get. So if you're a Pink Rabbit bankster and elitester, and they have no problems with selling out Pink Rabbits, you got to why? You're in panic mode, because you got to spend every waking moment looking over your shoulder. You can't shut down old Bob. You can't. God knows I'm getting the hack attempts. Yeah, there are huge numbers, huge numbers. One of the challenges with bringing out anything new on the site like a cart is it has to be done a certain way, hacking more difficult. And thank goodness I have a team behind that, but it takes a lot more time because they keep on having to refine things. But I'm coming under huge hacking attempts. It hasn't taken the site down, but you know, you don't know about me. Most of you haven't heard about me, but someone else has. but it creates a problem. That problem is going to get a reaction. Fear. Our enemy is very fearful. There's nothing like being afraid to force bad decisions. But all this is pressure, and that's what you've seen. And that pressure, it looks like to me, forced their hand and they agreed to something. We won't know the effects of it till after Iran. And after Iran, you're going to get your little minds blown. I've talked about this. Most of my listeners, most of the people on this planet will be shaken and stirred like a martini. My listeners, hopefully, will just be like a Bond martini, shaken but not stirred. I've tried to do as best I can to have you ready for these events, but these events are going to be mind-boggling, because we're looking for not what you're seeing in front of your face. We are going for long-term resolutions, long-term, we're resolving things long-term, having to do with a lot of stuff that goes way back a long ways. But what someone like Kalashnikov is telling you, that in the Kremlin, that's all they talk about, is taking our Russian, German, Italian access and then flooding the place and breaking Anglosphere in half forever. Forever, because once you get the males, and there's a shortage of males across Northern Europe, once you get the Anglo and the Irish, you're done. You don't have Western civilization. And there's also another event that's happened. Most of you know about all the different Chinese spies, and every day there's new Chinese spies. Well, you can easily know every Chinaman in America working at any critical position. You can easily know it. The CIA knows all of them. They're very easy to track. They're Chinese! It's very difficult to know when your Anglo males are selling you out. Remember, you tried to replace your founding gene pool. You tried to take America in 1965 was, I don't know what it was, 89% Indo-European. Right now, it's falling fast. But they tried to make, you know, China right now is 91% Chinese. They tried to make China non-Chinese. Well, that's not going to go over well with the Chinese. And now you've got a new emperor. And you don't know what they've taken from America. The Russians and the Germans, they're just taking everything because they play a simple game. They say, well, you know, Anglo banking's collapsing and you're probably going to consolidation. We'll make sure you get a ticket in a nice new big white rabbit hole we're forming over here. You can only imagine the fit you would get behind the scenes. And this has happened. Discussions have happened in London and whatnot that this stuff has gone too far. And our side on the inside in Anglosphere has used this tremendous leverage. This is pain and suffering for our enemies because they've bitten off something and now it's going to be force-fed to them. It's very, very interesting stuff. But all this is happening right in front of your face. And they're big, big events. They're not necessarily advertised on billboards, but they're huge. And it just creates pressure, and pressure forces bad decisions. And now, of course, we're going to war with Iran, probably sooner rather than later. If it didn't happen last fall, and it didn't, it'll probably happen this spring. If it doesn't happen this spring, it'll happen this fall. But everything's going to pieces, so you got to hurry up and negotiate something for yourself. And the pink rabbit banksters and elitesters are not necessarily attached to the pink rabbits in the way you think. They've been divided. They have problems. They have stellar problems. So much so that I think elements like, I don't even want to go into that right now. I'll go into that, and I was going to talk about why Jimmy Carter is asking their forgiveness and stuff like that. He knows something's coming. He knows something's coming. We're working to long-term resolutions. But what it tells you, all these events, separately, these events mean nothing. Separately, none of these events mean anything, but there's a chain of events. There's a chain of circumstances. This is a white rabbit dream sequence. Doesn't mean it's not going to get rocky, but what Kalashnikov is saying, as we enter the new age of barbarism, Russia's already there. You know, we got to make the clean break. He's talking about a clean break from conventional politics, which is, conventional politics is rule-based politics, is what you do at the voting booth, into full-spectrum practical politics in the age of barbarism, which you can only imagine. Russia has outrageous weapons, but they've never really used it against those outrageous populations in the Caucasus. But, you know, they're not. You can only imagine what they do if you free up the hand. You'd have, you know, 5 million skinheads running around with who knows what, all across Germany, and I get reports from East Germany, in East Berlin, I should say, in eastern part of Germany, and they are fit to be tied. You know, there's not even that many Turks. I don't think there's any Turks in eastern Berlin, but in East Berlin, I'm not talking West Berlin, I'm talking East Berlin. East Berlin can take West Berlin. Yeah, the East can take the West now, but these things are happening, and they're happening in a huge. Coming into these wars, they're advertising stuff right in front of our faces. But the worst case scenario of going to Russia is a go. I mean, that the German, Russian, Italian axis is a go. When you have something like this, talking to Dmitry Medvedev, that means they've talked about this stuff years ago. There's elements in Anglosphere that have consistently talked about London and the UK losing all its Europeans behind the scene, and that's what they're doing. They've lost all their, they know that you'll get on a plane and leave, and that gives your side tremendous leverage. You can wiki white flight. Yeah, it's in the Wikipedia. No one else's. Black flight is not in the wiki. Yellow rabbit flight is not in the Wikipedia. White flight is. They know what you're about, which is good. Which is good. You know, let people compete for your affections. But these events are huge. This is what I was hoping. This is a dream sequence. This is what I was hoping to see. And you may see these wild spiral air events all over. People have noticed things they're calling chemtrails. This all has to do with this next generation weapon system that is not just a weapon. It is all of the above. That's one of the challenges with it. It can be used for communication. It can be used for missile defense. And may be a missile. It may have been a legitimate missile defense. Maybe they're worried about some little country going wild and firing a bunch of missiles at white rabbits. And this web, it's magic. It's magical stuff. It's so magical when it happens, most of the people on this planet will think it's supernatural or something. It's just technology beyond our comprehension. And that's all. You know, if we were to go back in time, Horus the Avenger would tell some white jackrabbits back in time, and grab some AK-47s or whatever, a couple tank battalions, maybe one of those big Navy boats that gives those boys a ride all over the planet, and some microwaves and cell phones and go back 300 years in time, they think we were white gods. Well, it's not supernatural, it's just technology beyond the times, right, that they haven't yet revealed to us. But that's what you're seeing. And one of these events means nothing to me. all of them together, with the cover coming off Talibama. And of course, our enemy is trying latch-dist efforts. Their top isn't, because the Pink Rabbit Banksters and Elitesters, I'm guessing, have negotiated something. Yeah, they've negotiated something. But the mid-level is now panicking, and our enemy is very strong at the mid-level in somewhere like America and even London. They're strong at the judiciary level. They're trying to do things against the Taliban. They want Obama out of there. They're pressing the court cases against him, but it's too late on that. They're still doing stuff in Iran. They'll fight to the finish, but this should be pretty wild. This should be pretty interesting stuff. But that's what we're going for, long-term resolution. This looks like a planet-wide clean break. And we'll go into a little more some stuff I know about what is surrounding Israel there. This is going to be larger than life. It's going to be the biggest event on this planet in thousands and thousands of years. And what comes after that is going to start a series of events, too. This is not the normal little white rabbit run in the park war. The fact that they're warming up our next generation weapon system and that Russia is covering is good. The fact that elements within America are blatantly working off Russian hackers information, fantastic. The fact that the last nail was put in the elements of their New World Order, wonderful, wonderful. This is fantastic. The fact that Taliban irritates white people, but he doesn't have power to do anything else, and that's good. I mean, white rabbit should be irritated. I was asked what I think about the immigration. If you don't control the media in somewhere like America or London, if you don't control the media, you don't control the textbooks. The only thing you can do is the more obvious is better. So, if you're going to if you're going to have this nice suburb in somewhere like Vermont, and you have a choice between Korean rabbits and Somali Muslims, you throw in place the Somalis with the big machetes. Why? White rabbits know to get out of the way of them, and it irritates them. Yeah, a couple may die, someone may get raped and murdered. But that's going to happen anyways. It's happened to us for thousands and thousands of years. If you don't control the energy flow, you might. And guess what? When you get into the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, they're so far gone mentally, they think this stuff works. When you get into the Lutheran Immigrant Society, it's not a conspiracy. They're just that brainwashed. The one at the top will be conspiring to make us into a third world, but it doesn't take a conspiracy. You don't have to destroy a country. They'll do it for you. After 15 years of an education system that I designed, you can destroy any country on the planet. You don't have to do anything. They'll do it for you. But that's what we're seeing. If you have a choice between something that can assimilate and something that can't assimilate, and you can't control the energy flow, well, you'll control the energy flow later on. You may not get them, but you'll get their kids. Yeah, that's how that works. So this has been funny. I'm going to go into some more of this stuff too. I'm going to go over in the next segment, I'm going to talk about. To wrap up real quick, these are dream sequences you're seeing. And you're going to see it all at once. And this is pretty crazy, pretty out there. It's going to be very, very out there. I can't really describe it, because if I were to describe the stuff that may happen and stuff like that, you're not going to believe it anyways. But I've given you a heads up on the direction of this stuff. But this should be very, very interesting. So don't think you're going anywhere. No, you're not going anywhere. This is going to become very, really fascinating. But having America, having someone coming out with a consistent message like Obama in America, it's just a nightmare. It's just a nightmare, especially in a modern media that you can't control. You get a Joe the Plumber, you better do something, because once it goes there, once a group has America locked in a barrel, and let's face it, if you got Russia, you got German soft power, you got the military industrial complex areas of America, you got elements in the political establishment, wide sky, you're in trouble. London's very isolated all of a sudden. You got problems. You better do something. You better do something fast. And that's what has occurred. When Wesley Clark said the Russians are spoilers. Well, spoilers for what, Wesley? Spoilers for what? Yeah, you don't have a New World Order. Someone else may, though. Yeah, how about that? So this would be interesting. These are fascinating events happening right in front of your face. And in the next episode, we're going to go into I'm going to go into some stuff that came up on the blog. And there's a very good post. There's a post that is what you see is what you get in every man's post. And I'm going to go over it as I see the world, because I think how I see the world is entertaining to you guys. Or at least it isn't all the emails are telling me. And I'm going to read the piece about networking and the post, because it's important for me to answer it in my particular way. It's something good for me to answer. And I'll be back with you in a few minutes. Last but not least, we have old Pooty Poot. Pooty Poot's, you know, I was asked the question, when is it over? Well, I'll never know until we know, because, you know, your motto should be to put your foot on an enemy's throat and to lift it. Well, the typical saying is you put your foot on an enemy's throat and you lift it when they no longer breathe. But we take a different approach. You know, we go a step further. You get your foot on some rabbit's throat. You don't lift it when they turn blue. You don't lift it when they turn blue and cold. You lift it when you smell the rot. You know, when they start rotting, that's when you lift it. But until then, you know, the foot's on the throat. I was asked by someone, his actual enemy, is when Putin's going to quit. Well, he'll quit when he smells the rot. Until he smells the rot, he's not going to quit, especially in front of these events. But the news headlines, and this is a Bloomberg, this is a standard news headline. You guys have seen this for years. Russia warns EU of oil supply cut in Ukraine row, Slovakia says. This is Bloomberg. And you know, it's Pooty Poot. You know, it's just Pooty Poot. I'm not mad at you or nothing, but since you're down and out, and this was in December 28th, but since you're down and out, I just thought I'd kick you in the teeth a few times, a few more times. Not that they aren't just kicking people in the teeth. There's some elements in Europe that they hate, so do I. And he's just kicking them in the face. And Germany says, well, we gotta do things because Russia supplies our energy. You know, instead of we gotta be in the Middle East because these Arabs got all our energy and we gotta be in there and help Israel. Germany's doing it right. Like, well, we gotta cooperate with Russia. And Russia doesn't really care. Why? Because Ukraine is now included in all these different Europe government organizations and EU-wide government organizations and entities, and Ukraine is now included in different NATO things and all this shebang. But what that means is you have to pay Ukraine's bills. Okay, so Russia, and this is something they're not telling you, what Russia's doing is just kicking them in the teeth and going, all right, you got to pay Ukraine's bills, so we'll just hike it up on you. You know, you want Ukraine to pay cheap? Well, if UK comes over and does business with us, maybe we'll cut a break. But until then, until they do what the Germans want them to do, until they get everything straight, we're just going to keep kicking you in the teeth and you'll just keep having to pay their bills. And we'll keep hiking their bill too. Yeah. Why? Well, you know, maybe we're going to do a big Northern European white rabbit homeland, and maybe we need some extra money. Heavens knows we have like the third or the second largest foreign currency reserves, but that may not be enough. Well, we may need more, and since you're paying all their bills, why, you love being in Ukraine, you love bothering us. Since you're paying all their bills, well, we just thought we'd tack on a higher bill for you. How about that? And I was asked, when is enough? When are they going to quit? They're not going to quit. That's what you do. They'll quit probably when you smell the pink rabbits rotting. That's when you quit. You don't quit when they turn blue. You don't quit when they're suffocating. You don't quit when they're dead. You quit when they're rotting. That's what Pooty Poot thinks. That's how old Bob thinks too. Yeah, you don't quit until it's what you see is what you get time to quit. But that's funny stuff. But they're always fooling around with energy, and they got them by the cojones, and the Germans love this. So do I. So do I. Because if someone's going to have you by the cojones, might as well be someone that's good for white rabbits, right? But now on to the blog, the post on the blog, and I'm going to read the post. It's a good post on networking, December 21st, 2009. This is old Bob writing, and but I want to read one of the comments. One of the comments is an everyman's comment. It's a what you see is what you get comment. It's a very good comment, but that's what we're going for here. The topic, of course, is networking. When I got into international aviation negotiations, I wrote Carlton Putnam about it. We had corresponded 10 years earlier, and he knew who I was. This is old Bob talking, or old Bob writing. Putnam was the founder of Delta Airlines. He never once mentioned that he could help me in the industry. This is what one expects of our side. They won't even force their heirs to take our side. I have talked about the fact that Communist Party members would routinely rob banks and marry heiresses to get the party money. If whites do it, it's called discrimination. When politically correct people do it, it's called networking. We used to say that the fashion industry was run by queers. Mommy Professor denied this vehemently. And it was denounced as Hitlerism, until AIDS hit. Then the media mourned the death of practically the entire personnel of the fashion industry. When Barbara Walters had a gushy piece wondering why gay men were such great designers, try to imagine if she had a program about why white males were naturally such great executives. After all, it hasn't been that long since almost all big executives were white males. Well, many of them still are. Mommy Professor would immediately point out that whites only got big jobs because they were white and male, but gays have some preternatural genetic gift for designing clothes. Well, maybe it is true that a few more gays are hired because gays are hiring them, but that's just networking. The one vocation that depends most on the luck of the draw is acting. Every successful actor is a result of a series of lucky breaks. Even De Niro, who seems to appear in every movie, will not claim uniqueness as his talent. And actors just happen to have the political diversity of a Harvard faculty. So far, I've sounded a lot like a respectable conservative. My stomach is getting queasy, so let me quote a guy on Ventura's conspiracy theory. When Ventura asked how we let them get away with all this, the man replied, "They're smarter than we are." Jesse did not pursue that naked truth. One would expect Putnam to help me by networking. He would do it for his son's Jewish buddy, I'm sure, but not for politics. It is critical to political correctness to keep this lack of mentality among respectable conservatives. It is critical weapon in keeping celebrities far left. Since it works and it is smart, it is a principle among the kept opposition to declare not doing it for their side is a matter of freedom, personal independence, objectivity, and of course Christianity. And it had a it has several different responses, which were all good. And this is about one of the more negative pieces I've seen on Bob lately. He's talking about networking and how our side, most of our networks, believe it or not, are not what you see is what you get. But one of the commenters has an everyman's comment since Bob had one of his darker pieces. Darker, usually there's nothing negative on the blog because it's pointless. But it's kind of what you see is what you get. Back when Bob was in Washington, no one would help Bob, probably except Bob. In public, out in the open, you know, he's on his own. When it came down to stopping integrated busing, he's on his own. He's out there alone against a handful of people. Yeah, no one's going to help him, at least in a what you see is what you get kind of way, at least in Washington. And that's what he's basically talking about, at least to me. You know, far be it from me to put words in his mouth. But the dude on December 21st is a new commenter, and he posted, and I'll call him TD, but it's the dude, and this is Bob's post on December 21st, and he posted this on December 21st, too. And I'm going to read this, and I'm going to go through and comment my style of commenting. Bob, there was a time in America when white people were in total control and unapologetic for being it. Putnam, although aware of race, was nevertheless still of that mindset, and being white wasn't an issue. It was just a given. White people helped friends and family all the time. Just look at the railroad and other family and son jobs. Eventually, white power and control become the focal point of kosher crowds, civil rights movement, and the rest was history. The contempt for whitey has been embedded deeply into our own people to the point where most whites don't even think in terms of race. They think in terms of political affiliations. They also suffer from white guilt. That's a problem. I believe that we have to network, but the trick is finding people who are aware of their race, are unapologetic for that awareness, and most importantly, trustworthy. We are out here, but here's the catch. We are unorganized, leaderless, and overly cautious with our actions and beliefs. You said the communists would rob banks for their cause. How many of us would do that? None. How many of us view this as life or death? Few. Because if we did, they would know me by name and face, not as a pseudonym. We would be networking constantly. Anyway, we have to come out of the closet and be uniting, or else be resolved to a remnant of a pathetic debating society longing for bygone days. And that's a pretty good what you see is what you get post. excuse me. And this is a pretty good post for Bob, because on Bob's for a first time poster is very good. And I'm going to go back through and give you my opinion on different things, because this guy posting was obviously from a different generation, and Bob has seen it all. You know, if you've been in Washington as long as he was, he's seen the good, the bad, the ugly, the horrible. And this stuff right now is becoming very, very entertaining for someone like Bob, but he deserves to be entertained at all this after all that time. But that the post that Bob put on networking was probably a little more depressing than anything I've ever said. It was almost like, you know, like he caught himself saying, so far I've sounded a lot like a respectable conservative. You know, respectable conservatives always talk about that. Oh, it's horrible, it's this and it's that. But let's talk about TD, or the dude's post, and I'm going to read it again. Bob, there was a time in America when, excuse me again, we're in total control and unapologetic for being it. Putnam, although aware of race, was nevertheless still of that mindset, and being white wasn't an issue, it was just a given. White people help friends, family all the time, just look at the railroad cart and other father and son jobs. Eventually, white power and control became the focal point of kosher crowd's civil rights movement, and the rest was history. The contempt for whitey has been embedded deeply into our own people to the point where most whites don't think in terms of race. They think in terms of political affiliations. They often suffer from white guilt. That's a problem. Well, everything you said there is true. It's kind of what you see is what you get. The challenge with it is you're coming into this topic of negative conditioning. When you put something like that in place, you better damn well have your new world order, because as soon as it goes overboard, you're going to start negatively conditioning. And instead of having what you see is what you get, white guy or white gal at an office that is extremely racially aware, there's always going to be one in every office, and that one will speak up for their ethnic interests, and that's that one's job. That's the history of our race. Our race is not ethnocentric. In the next 26, I'm going to go into some Kevin McDonald's things. I'm going to go into it a little bit deeper. I'm going to even point out where the why is coming from. We got a heads up on where the why may be going. Why your neighbors think they're racist. Why our ancestors thought they were evil sinners going to burn in hell. Why we are susceptible to this type of programming. But if you control the media in America, that's all it takes. You control the media, and I'm talking about the textbooks and magazines. Post-1950, the media became a lot more than just newspapers. Newspapers were bad enough. Just controlling the newspapers and some book publishing was bad enough. You want to start talking about radio and TV and magazines and it's just color as well as, you know, everything went in color. It became a serious, serious issue, but it also went overboard very, very quickly. And if you isolate that one white that's going to speak up for them, you can shut them down pretty easily, because we're in a million different jobs. We're across a bunch of different sectors. We're not just a handful of hunter-gatherers and a handful of craftsmen and a handful of shamen and a bunch of women. The white rabbits aren't like that. We're segmented. We've always been like that across all these creative fields. And so it's very easy to shut down that one white rabbit, and that's all there is. That's all there's ever going to be. Are the white rabbits listening to me? Your job is to speak up for their ethnic interests. If they shut you down, it's pretty easy to do when you have that type of media control. But it creates a problem. That problem is going to get a reaction, because white rabbits negatively condition. They're going to believe their evil sinner is going to believe it burn in hell. I don't know why. I'm going to go into the direction wise go, but they're going to believe that. But look out. Because instead of having one ethnocentric white at a workplace, you're now going to have six or seven times that number. So that if once it goes too far, there's a problem. And right now they've created a huge problem. Now let's go on to the next segment. So yeah, not only is it a problem for us, my point is, he says that's a problem. It is a problem. But it's also a problem for someone else. You see, you can't stop it once it goes into motion. They're going to believe their evil racist is going to burn in hell. And it's going to go, or their evil racist, it's going to go full circle. And you can't do anything with a society like that until it starts coming out. And you can't control the energy flow once it is coming out. See, that's the challenge here, right? Most of the listeners here are not going to buy any Pink Rabbit media. You're not going to. You never will. There's nothing I can do to make you want to buy into their garbage. It's not how it works, is it? Once you become aware ethnically, it's that there is no going back for White Rabbit. And in 26, I'm going to start going into paradoxes, White Rabbit paradoxes, because there are many. White Rabbits are not ethnocentric, and they are not oriented. They'll look at you dazed and confused over race, but they are fanatics over purity, whether it be environmental purity or other things. We're going to go into some things we know about our race. But you see, this becomes a problem for someone else, because a Hebrew immigrant aid society and the Lutheran society and the Catholic are brainwashed too. They're going to put all these people, they're going to put Somali Muslims in Maine. That's not what you want to do that's not what you want to do in 2000, because it isn't going to work the way you think it's going to work. They're completely backwards. You know, there's places in Ireland, and the Irish are becoming I was reading this one piece. There's a blog called Heard on the Street in Dublin. And it's just a funny blog, an everyday man's blog. And they're talking about these immigrants, these backward immigrants from Africa. And one of them showed up, a Nigerian or a Somali or whatever. And they were taking their seven little black rabbits shopping at some nice upper scale department store / hardware store in Dublin, Ireland. And they were new to the country. And they had this nice trash can. You know how you like have a kitchen garbage pail where you know the lid flips back and you put your garbage, your white rabbit garbage in the kitchen there, you throw that in there. Well, they had the flip back part turned all the way up, and they had a little black rabbit sitting on there dropping rabbit pellets. Yeah. They're so backwards, they thought it was some kind of a toilet can, and they were using it in the middle of the store in front of the whole store, all these white rabbits in Ireland, freaking out. It's pretty backwards. But if I can't control the energy flow, well, we might as well put some stuff like that in there. Are they any harm? Yeah, they can harm you. Yeah, they can do all kinds of stuff. But another thing they tend to do is they tend to tick off white rabbits and wake them up, because white rabbits are fanatics over purity. And I don't think any rabbit likes someone taking a dump in their store, much less a little black rabbit dropping rabbit pellets in a trash can in the middle of a store. But that's the type of thing that you're talking about. You know, you got these, there's elements in America that run around with machetes. And are they in danger? Yeah, but they're not as dangerous as something that's going to assimilate or integrate. I mean, you're talking about managing losses, and you know, they may hit someone with a machete, they may rape some girl, but believe it or not, white rabbit females tend to be pretty turned off by something that backwards, and they'll get away from them. They'll instinctively get away from them, but it you can't control that though. But you can't operate a society with that in it. That's my whole entire point. So it's a problem, but there's a wide sky problem that it creates too. Well, it's not, I don't even know how wide sky it is. You know, you create huge problems for yourself, because they've tried to, like the Hebrew immigrant aid, they've tried to turn it around. They said, don't have those immigrants, you know, get the Koreans or whatever. Oh, that would be racist. That would be racist. We got to get all these Africans and stuff. No, they're too backwards. They're too crazy. You can't assimilate and integrate that. It's just impossible. And they drive other rabbits up the wall. Nothing drives white rabbits up the wall more than fooling with their environment, because they are fanatics over purity and fanatics over the environment. The whole entire, they go for it. We can get into whys. We're going to get into whys the next one. But it's a problem, not just for us. At one time, it was a problem for us. It's a problem for them. It's a problem, because as soon as you add one of those, you probably create a every white, young white, maybe not the old ones because they're still brainwashed, but every young white rabbit in the neighborhood becomes what? Yeah, he's surfing on Stormfront now. He's listening to old Horace Avenger. Is it because he's racist? Well, in your opinion, he's a racist. You're just saying it because he's white. But you have to look at the broader picture and look at it from a long-term perspective. It's a problem if you have your New World Order in 1997 or 1984. Yeah, it's disastrous. It's not a disaster. No, it just becomes entertaining. It's a disaster if one hurts you. But of course, you know, putting in a bunch of sophisticated, assimilable immigrants like some East Asian, and having you know, if a young white rabbit male has little babies with an Asian female, it's really no different than a than a Somali rabbit hacking them to death. Yeah, either way, it's a net loss for our race. Tragically. It's tragic either way, but a death is a death. I mean, he's not going forward. He may want to live in Singapore or something like that, but that doesn't do anything good for my white rabbits. Do you understand that type of thing? It's not nice thinking. But you got to deal with the best of what you have. And what's the old phrase? What was it? Linens. I think linen copped it from someone else. Worse is better. Well, the more obvious, the better. The having a little black rabbit take a dump in the store and dumble it is a lot better than something that'll intermarry, right? Intermarry easily. So we always want to think in those terms, and we want to think long term. It's a problem, yeah. In the short term, it's a problem for us. In the long term, it's a problem for someone else, because you can't take it out of the box. White rabbits, even the Jew rabbits, are susceptible to this. Yes, they are. The Jew rabbits are susceptible to programming. Remember, a lot of them are. They have a wild mix of our traits, and they can't control it. So let's go on and let's read the rest of TD, the dude's post, because it's a good post. I believe that we have to network, but the trick is finding people who are aware of the race, are unapologetic for that, and awareness, and most important, trustworthy. We're out here, but there's a catch. We are unorganized, leaderless, and overly cautious with our actions and the beliefs. Well, I believe that they are unorganized and leaderless. And what you see is what you get basis. I do believe that is a challenge as they start coming out. But behind the scenes, believe it or not, one of the things we've had going for us is, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, the pink rabbits appear to be very organized and very rigid and ruthless across, let's say, the middle class. The middle class pink rabbits are very ruthless, and they do what the pink jackrabbits tell them to do. The problem for the pink jackrabbits are not. They've been divided. They've got problems. And they are not strong at the top. Whereas we are the direct opposite. Across the middle class of the white nationalist rabbits and all these different groups, they can't agree on the color of sky. They look like they're all over the map. They don't look like a threat. But then again, white rabbits are always like that. They're very creative. They're all over the place. They're very individualistic. So it presents a picture of a unified enemy when the enemy at the top is not unified. They're not unified at all at the top. In fact, many of the old-timers out there have noticed this. These pink jackrabbits at the top are not. The pink rabbits at the top, the ones that you know are in charge, are not organized at all. They're falling to pieces. There's infighting. That is unprecedented for them. And this has happened more and more over the last 20 years. But the pink rabbits across the middle class are very, very organized, or have the appearance of being organized and rigid. They'll fight to the death. They'll argue to the death for the most mundane lie. Whereas the white rabbits, the white nationalists or whatnot, will argue over the color of the sky and the sun and the moon and everything else. They look very disorganized. They look very they look leaderless. They look very disheveled, or they don't look like a threat. But that's how we always are. At the top, on the other hand, at the top is all wide sky. And at the top, they are ruthless as iron, and they are very, very rigid. Pootie-poot, what they're doing there, and this plan that they've been executing a long time, and I don't even know who they are. Yeah, my job is not to know that. My job is to talk with you. They are very organized. They are not divided. They are single-minded and driven to the point. They are way more organized and way more driven than your average pink rabbit doing what the pink rabbit leasters tell them to do, believe it or not. And so looks can be deceiving with us, and that's actually served our advantage. But I do agree with you, as more and more come out, and by the way, TD, you're seeing things through a what you see is what you get standpoint. In my opinion, if you post on Bugs, you're immediately in a network. Yeah, you see, the network is the game in front of you is air and ether. So if someone's stealing, if someone's hacking, and hacking is always stealing, they're playing the game in front of them, you're less likely to get caught. It doesn't matter whether it's networking at the local store or networking online. A lot of networking happens online. Now, you don't know what you're getting into until you eventually meet them. You never know. You never know what you're getting unless you know. But that is how a lot of networks are formed now. They're formed not through the magazine, because the magazine industry is not the latest in fashion. They're formed through air and ether. They're formed online. It doesn't matter whether it's Al-Qaeda networks formed online. Yeah, they recruit online. It doesn't matter through the Muslims or maybe your local Scientology. Scientology, that's a huge network. It's formed online. Yeah, they've grown a lot since the web. I don't know anything about them other than they're banned in some countries, and they seem a little loopy to me. They're a cult, whatever. Of course, I don't know a lot about them, but that is a religion, what the Germans called, I'll call it a religion, of some sort, and that has grown a lot online, just like our networks have grown a lot online, and we don't even fully know the extent of it. So when you say we would be networking constantly, we are networking constantly. And by posting that, you just network it constantly. Yeah. So it's just a way of looking at things. Maybe not, we aren't networking in a what you see is what you get way, but that can happen in a blink of an eye overnight. Things can happen. Things can change. And I'm sure you're aware of that because your post is very bright. Let's see here. You said the communists would rob banks for their cause. How many of us would do that? None. How many of us view this as a life or death? Few. Because if we did, you'd know me by name and face, not as a pseudonym. We'd be networking constantly. I'm going to go back over this. And I've got to take a break here. But I'm going to be back. And he also goes on to say, anyway, we have to come out of the closet united or else, and we will be resolved to a remnant of pathetic debating society longing for bygone days. There'll be things coming out of the closet. So that's happening. That's happening right now. But I'm going to go back over this. You said the communists would rob banks for their cause. How many of us would do that? None. I'm going to answer this, and I've got to provide. I decided to answer you in a way of how I look at the world. Okay, TD, I'm going to tell you guys about what you would label a conspiracy theory. You see, there's a couple good ones going around. I'll tell you one, and neither of these you've ever heard, and you will never hear them. What you call a conspiracy theory, I just call fictional accounts, or peas in a pod don't have to conspire. Either it's true or it's a fictional account. I hear some really good fictional accounts, or what you would label conspiracy theories. Two of the most interesting ones I have heard persistently, one of them very persistently over a period of time. Another one, I'll give you one. Most of you know that the term monkey wrenching was developed by the environmental groups. Environmental groups like the monkey wrench, sabotage things. You know, they hijack, they get on top of a corporation, they let down a big sign, and they cause problems and business can't operate. These have become famous. They wrote books on it, environmental monkey wrenching. Well, there was a rumor, a conspiracy theory, a fictional account, that segments of these environmental networks in Europe and otherwise are not actually environmental groups that are monkey wrenching things, and there's always monkey wrenching going around because everything's over air and ether. So if you're going to monkey wrench over air and ether, it's not necessarily going to be that what you see is what you get drop a big sign over front of Shell corporation because you don't like their environmental policies. Well, no, that's a what you see is what you get, and they do stuff like that, but there's all kinds of other stuff going around. All kinds of monkey wrenching, all kinds of sabotage, and the environmental groups are one that everyone knows about. In fact, they came out with environmental terrorism and stuff like that, right? But the rumor is, the conspiracy theory, the fictional account, is that a section of these environmental groups, some of the ones that do a lot of monkey wrenching, heavy duty stuff, are not environmental at all. No, they're wide sky like white nationalists or whatever that had infiltrated, but that are infiltrated in the environmental group that the environmental groups don't even know about, monkey wrenching things, stuff like that. Is it true? I have no idea. There's no way to know that. It's like someone saying the Earth is round and not flat. Well, anyone that could read in Europe knew the Earth wasn't flat, believe it or not. But a lot of people couldn't read, so everyone assumed it. But then when they come back, they said, yeah, the Earth is round. Well, now you know it was just a conspiracy. They were hiding that the Earth was round, you know. But you don't know until the ship sails and comes back, so I don't know that. But that's pretty interesting stuff, like a environmental steely-eyed lone wolf or sabotaging things, monkey wrenching things. I don't know. No one knows that. But anytime you try to replace your male population, your population period, anytime you do the type of things they've done in somewhere like Anglosphere in France, you're going to take off a lot of people. They're going to get very creative. I have a tendency to think maybe it's true in a handful of incidents or a percentage simply because they're playing the game in front of them. A smart white rabbit is not gonna, you know, you're thinking of robbing banks, and let me read a statement again. I believe, let's see here, you said that communists would rob banks for their cause. How many of us would do that? None. Well, you're thinking in terms of, Stalin, robbing railroads. Well, you got to remember, money and everything else was shipped on the railroads. They don't ship money by rail anymore, really. Yeah, they don't ship a whole lot except defense equipment and big heavy stuff. They ship things other ways nowadays. And that's what you got to keep in mind. Most of the stuff is done through air and ether. The big monkey wrenching is done through air and ether. Someone monkey wrenched Estonia right to the ground. That was done through air and ether. It wasn't done in any conventional way. These attacks on corporations, and they don't even want us to know about them, I can imagine why, are done through air and ether, right? Hacking. And so you really don't know. Certain power networks, you know, they've been accused of being monkey wrenched. We don't know. This stuff is always coming out when it comes to monkey wrenching, and you don't know. It's wide sky. But that is a rumor. That's an intelligence rumor, what have you. And, you know, peas in a pod wouldn't have to conspire. It wouldn't be a conspiracy at all. It'd just be a bunch of, ticked off white rabbits dealing with stuff, playing the game in front of them. You got a bunch of environmentals monkey wrenching, so you embed yourself in that, you monkey wrench. That's the game going, isn't it? You know, environmental terrorism, they actually coined it that. I don't know. We won't know until that ship sails. But you mentioned that I'm going to tell you about another one, and I can't tell it to you as direct as that. I'm going to tell it to you in a different way. You said the communists would rob banks for their cause. How many of us would do that? None. I'm going to tell you guys about the biggest conspiracy / theory going on behind the scenes. You've never heard this. You're not going to hear this. This has not come down in any official channels, but I'm going to pass it to, since it's a new year, and since This isn't going to go too much longer, but I'm going to end it with this. I'm going to tell you about the biggest one I have ever heard. I've never heard anything this big, this fantastic, this interesting. This is wild, wild stuff. So I'm going to tell it to you, but I'm going to tell it to you, and it could be fictional. You know, it could be the earth is really flat, or the earth is, you know, you're not going to know until the ship comes back and tells you the earth is round. That's just the way this stuff goes. But that's the type of world you live in, right? Who knows about you? Right? I mean, the dude is posting wide sky. Who knows about him? No one. So that's the way things go. But I will tell you in a roundabout way about the biggest bank robbery in the history of the world. I'm going to tell it to you. And who's getting blamed? Well, your side, basically, on some level. And so I'm going to tell it to you, and I'm going to tell it to you in a roundabout way because I don't want to be too precise. But this is the big thing that I've heard about, that I keep hearing about. True? I have no idea. I have no idea. The story goes that there was, White Rabbit Scientist Group Z. And White Rabbit Scientist Group Z, many decades ago, had a huge sum of money. A huge sum of money that needed to be invested on this third rock from the sun. And if you have a huge amount of money, a gazillion dollars, let's say, and you needed to have it invested, you would go to the Red Hippo, and you'd invest in the Red Hippo Banking. Red Hippo Banking is all over the planet, you know, Red Hippo Banking, private central banking. And I talked about this extensively, much more so than probably any channel you've ever heard, in a conventional white nationalist type, white rabbit type sense. And so I won't go into all the details about private central banking, but it's in the first 24. There's plenty of it there. So he went over to White Rabbit Scientific Group Z, went over to the Red Hippo and talked to the Pink Rabbit banksters and leadsters. And in talking to them, he says, look, we're on some big scientific discoveries, and these are white jackrabbit scientists, but our group has money left over from Event A. And money left over from Event A can't exactly be, we're going to have to invest it with you. And they said, well, you're on some interesting scientific, you know, scientific development, so you share some of those with us, and we'll let you invest the money in our banks. It's only good for us anyways, no big deal. And so they invested a gazillion dollars. Gazillion dollars in Pink Rabbit Banking. Pink Rabbit Banks was an elitist deposit in Red Hippo Banking. And they did this from an off country. They did this from, let's say, Platteville. And so you got a group of white jackrabbit scientists, Z. And this group Z invested a gazillion dollars. No big deal. It was decades later. Decades later and decades go by, and they share some secrets. They don't share other secrets, you know, whatever. No one really knows, but they have all this money tied up in Red Hippo Banking. And Red Hippo Banking, again, you'd have to go, you got to watch having someone get into you for too much money because it's a fractional reserve system. So they have all this money tied up, and of course it accumulates and it grows, and they're allowed to take out money, and they share certain scientific facts, whatever suits them. Well, there's another White Jackrabbit Group, White Jackrabbit Group Y, and White Jackrabbit Group Y, decades and decades ago, did the same thing. They made the same deal based on Z's deal. Y came in and said, you know, we're not affiliated with them officially, but we're friends with them, and we know that you're interested in these type of scientific research, but we have some money too. We have a gazillion dollars, and we need to invest that, but we're willing to make the same deal if you are. You know, no harm, no foul. And the pink jackrabbit says, yeah, sure, the red hippo would love that. Red hippo loves that. I mean, you share your secrets with us, we get that money. And of course, the pink rabbit banksters and the leasers of red hippo probably always thought all along they'd just rip them off or kill them or whatever. Well, so you got Z and Y, both investing separate groups, separate white jackrabbit scientific groups, investing a zillion dollars each. And so now you go back, there's another one. Another one finds out about the deal. And so this is X, Y, and Z. I'm going to call them X. White Jackrabbit Scientist Group X. And White Jackrabbit Scientist Group X has two gazillion dollars. And they have two gazillion dollars. And they come over and they want to invest that money too with the Red Hippo Bank and Trust. And you know, one of these groups is in Platteville, the other group is in Polka Dotville. These are big countries, and each one of these countries has separate Red Hippo bankings, but they're all run by pink rabbit banksters and elitesters. And so they have two gazillion dollars, and they come in two gazillion dollars, and they come into another country. What will we call the country? We'll call the country Plainville. And Plain Whiteville, we'll call it. And Plainville, they come in, and they talk to the Red Hippo directly, and they say, you know, Mr. Red Hippo, you cut this deal with them. Well, we even got more money. We got twice as much money. We'd like to cut the same deal for the same thing. And they gave them a few teasers. All along, they gave them a few teasers on the scientific research and whatnot. And sure, it's no harm, no foul. They get elements of the research, and they get to have these massive amounts of money deposited, and the scientists can withdraw money, and they can keep a tabs on them or whatnot. Well, decades go by, and their deal goes forward, and the deal turns out, I guess, good for both of them. For what, you know, they were able to deposit and withdraw money, and their money was well invested, because let's face it, the stock markets and the bond markets over the past 4 or 5 decades or whatever has grown exponentially. I think we can agree on that. Red Hippo Banking. You know, there's a lot more currency in circulation on this planet. Doesn't matter whether you're talking Japanese currency or U.S. dollars or even Russian rubles. There's a lot more in circulation than ever before. Inflation's been up, which means money has grown. For lack of a better concept. And so it was very fruitful, but they never withdrew the principal amount. So one morning, you know, everything's fine and dandy with their agreement. One morning, Red Hippo Banking comes into a crisis. It comes into a big crisis. And it comes into a series of crises. So big that they were having problems across the board. But this whole time out there, you have X, Y, and Z. X, Y, and Z white jackrabbits with all this money tied up. And who knows how much money it is. It's been X many decades. More than 3 or 4 decades, but probably not more than 5 or 6. I don't know the whole story. I'm just telling you a fictional account, let's call it. And so one morning out in Platteville, the white jackrabbit scientist, the head of the group, walks in Platteville, and this is the first group, Group X, we'll call him. And he walks into Platteville, and he walks in and talks to the Pink Rabbit banksters, and he leaves her, and he said, you know what, I need my money back. We need our group's money back. You know, we deposit it. We're good on our end of the deal, and we need our money back. And Red Hippo Banking is just reeling from crisis after crisis, and they demand the money back. And it was like, well, okay, it's kind of a bad time for us. We may not want to pay you back. And you see, this is a problem with Pink Rabbit Banksters and Elisers. They tend to lie, cheat, and steal, and they don't like screwing people over and that type of thing. And they said, well, you know, and the Pink Rabbit Banksters and Elisers said, well, you know, can we give you so much now? You know, let's work this out. You know, and then they started griping, you didn't really give us all the scientific. And then they said, look. We want our money. You have so many days to give us our money. And then so Pink Rabbit's butted in. They said, well, wait, how much money are we talking about here? You know, how much do you think you're owed? And he said, we're owed $300 gazillion. So what? $300 gazillion? Yeah, this is our agreement. This is the math. And we're tacking on a little extra because we've given you some pretty good scientific agreement. They said, no way we're paying you that. No way we're giving you that kind of money. You're robbing from us as extortion. He's like, we're extorting you? How could we extort the Red Hippo? You know, we're extorting you. Well, we're not going to pay you. You can just screw off and say, well, we didn't tell you something. You never asked something. You see, Group A sponsors us. Yeah, Scientist Group A is sponsored by Group A. And Group A has said that any deal with us that's negated negates all your deals with them, and they're going to sit Godzilla on you point blank. So you have two choices. You can give us our $300 gazillion right now or within so many days, or you're over with. We're going to attack. No holds bars. And this is directly from Group A. You can call Group A. And, of course, they turn three shades of white. And they said, well, we got to get with the Red Hippo. We got to talk with the main branch of Red Hippo Banking because this is a lot of money and you're making serious threats. And so a few hours after that, over in Polkadotville, Red Hippo Banking branch of Polkadotville, White Jackrabbit, head of the Scientific Group Y, right? We're dealing with X, Y, and Z. And Scientific Group Y says, you know what? Walks in there, and of course, they hadn't heard the story of what just happened with X. A different group of Pink Rabbit Banksters and Leasters, they walk in, they say, well, we loaned you all this money decades ago, and we want our money back. And they said, well, how much money do you think you deserve? And they said, $300 gazillion. They said, what? $300 gazillion? Well, we're in the middle of a big crisis. We can't come up with that overnight. Where do you think you get your, where are you getting your math? And they laid out the math and they said, you know, well, we're not paying you. Screw off. They said, oh, but we're owned by Group A. Yeah. They said, well, you didn't tell us that. You didn't ask. We're owned by Group A, and it's their money, and they're funding from us, and they split us in two or whatever, and we invest it with you as the plan, and you have to give us back the money, or Group A is going to sit Godzilla on you, point blank. All your deals are done. So if you negate giving us the money back, you legitimately owe us. It's the way the interest works out. You don't like it, tough. You know, you have so many days to come up with the money, $300 gazillion. And so this was so many hours after they got hit. And so now you have Pink Rabbit Banksters and Elisers from Polkadotville and Platteville. They're all on planes, I guess, coming over to the main Red Hippo branch in Plainville. Plainville. And over in Plainville, an interesting thing happened. As you guessed it, the Pink Rabbit, or the White Jackrabbits from Scientific Group Y, because we're dealing with X, Y, and Z, Y comes over. And Y comes over and says, yeah, Mr. Red Hippo, I deposited $2 gazillion, and they've earned a lot of interest, and I need to withdraw my money. Well, how much money do you want? Oh, I want, I don't know what it was, $400 gazillion, something like that. We need our $400 gazillion, and the Red Hippo falls down laughing. How are you going to collect that? You know, you idiots deposit money, how are you going to collect that? Oh, you don't understand. Yeah, Group Y is owned by Group A. Yeah, I'm owned by Group A, and they'll sit Godzilla on you, and all their deals are over and negated if you don't pay me my $400 gazillion or whatever they were asking for. Some ridiculous amount. And so the Red Hippo starts really thinking. and then all of a sudden you have Pink Rabbit banksters and elitesters from all over, Platteville, Polkadotville, whatever, walking in and saying, yeah, we got to come up with $300 gazillion, and Polkadotville says the same thing, yeah, we got to come up with $300 gazillion, and then the red hippo looks him dead in the eye, the big white jackrabbit, and he says, that's a cotillion dollars you're asking for. You're hitting us for a cotillion dollars right now, and you're threatening all-out war if we don't pay you. He's like, yep. What's your response? Well, what would your response be? Well, you've got two things. You come up with the money, and guess what? All these other groups are owned by Group A, too. So the whole world's going to know you took money from Group A. Well, you can't take money from Group A. Group A is taboo. Group A is forbidden. If anyone found out, it'd not only crush all little pink rabbits, it'd crush the world. The whole world would turn upside down overnight. So, well, what would you do? Well, they came up with a cotillion dollars overnight, point blank. Now, of course, it would have been done over air and ether. They're not necessarily robbing a bank, although they were accused of it. They were accused of all kinds of things. It was kind of like that movie. What's that movie? It's one of my favorite movies. I actually like it, although it has all kinds of different stereotypes in it that are not good for white rabbits, like everything else from Hollywood. It's like Die Hard with a Vengeance. That's it. I got to look this up. Die Hard with a Vengeance. It was in 1995. A group of white mercenaries from Eastern Europe have this red biotechnic, and the biotechnic is something that can set off a big, big bomb. Biotechnic, BALLOTECHNIC, and they have a famous biotechnic in the movie. It's alluded to, called Red Mercury. It's also in American nostalgia. It's going to be called American Gold. It's also called Soviet Red Mercury. In that instance, or what is it called? The Nazi serum. And it's an interesting substance. I'm not going to go into it now. I don't even know if it exists. But they threatened to blow up a lot of stuff. And why they made this big threat, they walked around and they robbed a bank. But they didn't rob some small bank. They robbed all the gold in the Central Bank of New York, right? Remember? And in the movie, of course, Bruce Willis, who was a drunk white cop, and Zeus, and I remember this name, Zeus is Samuel Jackson, and Samuel Jackson, of course, is a brilliant black man living in Harvard, and him and Bruce Willis stopped these guys. Well, if someone's that sophisticated to have that type of biotechnic and to do that type of blackmail, you're probably not a regular cop on the beat and a black man from Harlem are probably not going to stop them. You know what I'm saying? But in the movie, they stopped them and they got all their gold back. But, you know, when you're saying the communists would rob banks for your cause, how many of us would do that? Well, you know, anytime I see large amounts of money disappearing, it doesn't matter whether it's a congressional oversight or something in the EU, some big defense spending bill, and money disappears, and money disappears from that stuff all the time. Anytime I see a bank who says it's been hacked or something like that, I always look to see maybe it's our side. I don't know. You don't know that. I mean, you're making assumptions. You're making what you see is what you get from assumptions, and you're not in that type of world. Second, you know, the game in front of you is not knocking over 7-Elevens or railroads or even local branch of Chase Manhattan. It would be knocking over a central bank, probably, like those East Germans in Die Hard with a Vengeance. If you're going to knock over something, white rabbits don't think small. No, they don't. No, they don't. They don't. You don't. You know, these old timers talk about Rojava. The whole world's going to blow up in racial warfare, and it may. But that's not thinking small. That's not thinking small at all. We don't think small. So you got to look at the game in front of you. They're going to be stealing over air and ether or doing something along those lines. They're going to be playing, whether it be currency markets or central bank, they're going to be doing something in front of them. But that was a conspiracy theory, or what I will label a fictional account, about the red hippo having to pony up a cotillion dollars or else it was over with on the spot, or something along those lines. Who knows? We won't know until this boat's already sailed, if we ever know. But saying that you know, how many of us would do that? Well, who's us? You don't know who's reading Bob's blog. Don't make assumptions. makes a song. I've made horrible assumptions when it comes to these things, but that's all they talk about is our side's doing this, our side's doing that. In fact, there's the Ghost Hunters. I talked about Ghost Hunters International on January 6th. They're coming out with the official story. It's going to be the first time that an official historian attached to official historical organization, the foremost authority on U-boat history, is going to come out with what really happened after World War II. And it's coming out on Ghost Hunters International. I said that they weren't hunting the ghost of Hitler. Well, they are. I made a mistake. They're hunting the ghost of Hitler in Argentina, in a famous Nazi hotel in Argentina. Plastic surgery clinic, whatever. Should be an interesting show. But we don't know a whole lot about your side. We don't know the past, so we don't know the future. So I can give you the fantastical conspiracy theory. You'll never hear that one. No, you won't. But before this is over, I'm sure Hitler's going to have killed everyone and even your granny in 1989. But that's the way this stuff works, and this is starting to become entertaining. But you always got to look at the game in front of you. You got to look at what's really going on. Anytime you see money disappearing in Washington or London or in Brussels, or especially in Brussels, or who knows. You always think in terms, never think in terms of there's no white rabbit doing that. Most of the time there is, and a percentage of the time it's probably going to be on your side or something. That's just the way it works. That's just simply, if you exist, well, something like you exist on the inside on some level, survey says. Right? Yeah, I mean, if you have a white rabbit down, you're looking behind you or aside you, don't. Don't assume your peer group is all there is. There's going to be something way ahead of you, right? If there's something that thinks like you where you're at, something's going to be way somewhere else thinking like you too. Instead of thinking some big Rojava scenario, they're going to be thinking about other big scenarios. Maybe stealing from central banks like those East Germans, those East Germans and Die Hard with a Vengeance. So you got to think in those terms. But that's how I would answer old TD, the dude who posted on Bob's networking post, which is more of a negative post. Bob doesn't normally post negatives like that, about the past, because that is just the past he's talking about. Not talking about the future. Future is unknown. But this is the end of 25, and 26 we're going to talk about white rabbit paradoxes. And I'm going to go over another famous one, Kevin MacDonald. He writes some very good stuff. And I'm going to talk about some stuff from my perspective. And this is all just my perspective, my opinion. Stick with us here. And each one of these can be listened to separately. The first 24 are a series. If you're lost on something I'm talking about, you want to listen to the first 24, and I'm sure any question you have will be filled in. I was asked why 24, why not break it down into 50? Well, there's not really a difference to someone like me. I didn't want to break it down into 50 or anything like that simply because I wanted everything to be as compact as possible. I could have done that, but it's self-defeating. From my perspective, from this particular direction. But I'll be back with you on 26, and we'll keep this conversation alive. This is the end of another episode of Follow the White Rabbit. Follow the White Rabbit, again, is a game that will teach you practical politics. Practical politics is practical because it is non-voting, which makes it very, very practical. Conventional politics is voting politics or rule-based politics. And the ultimate, of course, is full-spectrum practical politics, engaging and taking down an opponent, a system, by any means necessary, within the rules, within the law, but never breaking them. And this is the end of another episode of Follow the White Rabbit. Thank you for listening.